I know. Yeah, you probably. I wish I'd wrote down everything you've helped me with. I could write a book. Amen. Now we got Joseph here, and we were in Mexico. When they were in Mexico, me and Chabelo, our man, came through, and I'm talking to Carrie, and she said, you know, what do you need or whatever? What do you want to eat? I'd already ate 20 pounds of tortillas. I said, Carrie, they were way down there in Morelia, Michoacan. And I said, I really would like to have some pinto beans and cornbread. Not them kind they, you ever heard of mashed potatoes? You ever heard of mashed? Why do they mash them pinto beans? That has got to be an abomination. So she had a pot of pinto beans and cornbread. And man, that helped me get the rest of the way home. But James is a little guy, and I mean Joseph was old enough to remember, and James might not remember so much, but I remember, and it's a wonderful time. Amen. These boys are not married. I'm working on helping them. I don't charge nothing but a big steak. I told him, I said, I'll help them, you know. He said he didn't need no help, I think.
Never said that. Amen. I need a lot of help. I'm going to grab one of these waters. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Good to be born again. I tell you what a blessing it is. As my brother said, to preach next to some other men of God, I tell you, I love it. I was talking to my papa, and I believe I am a fourth generation preacher. I tell you what a godly heritage I have. Everybody else is going to celebrate if they got a rock star in their family, if they got a movie star in their family. Why not celebrate godly heritage? I tell you what a blessing that is. I believe we had, what, six preachers in our family. I tell you, that's an absolute blessing, an absolute just honor. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to get to where I'm at. I'm going to take a sip of water while y'all turning. 2 Samuel chapter 11, very familiar chapter. Amen. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide, when David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and it came in unto her, or she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified for her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity just to preach your holy word today, Lord. I thank you for being in the house of God, sending your son to die on that rugged cross for my sins, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the call to preach, the call to study, Lord. I pray that you take this message, Lord, and I pray that you use it. God, I'm in need of a touch today, Lord, knowing that I'm nothing but a man, Lord, and just old filthy rags, Lord. I pray, God, that you take it. I pray that, God, you convict where it needs convicting, Lord. I pray that you renew where it needs renewing, God. And I pray that you save where it needs saving, God. I pray that you know the hearts, God, and you know the minds, Lord. And I pray that this message, Lord, touch the ones that it needs to touch, God. And I pray that you just use it to your mighty will and way, knowing that I'm a nothing but a filthy rag. I pray all this in your sweet son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I tell you right here in this passage of scripture, it's just a way of an introduction I want to give you this right here to try to get to where I want to get to. We see David, this man of God, here in this passage of scripture. If you read through the life of David, you can see earlier in the parts of his life, when Saul was still king over Israel, when Saul was still reigning over Israel, God never set Saul over Israel. And that was a decision by Israel themselves. They wanted a king, and they wanted to separate themselves from what God wanted, God the lead them, and they wanted a king. So God gave them Saul as their own desires. And then we see what happened with Saul. And then God said, and this is where I want to get to, God said, I will pick a man after my own heart. And he went through the passage a little bit later. That was in 1 Samuel chapter 14. If you read in chapter 16, he told Samuel, said, I will choose a man. I will choose a man. It was God that chose David. Why did he choose David? Because he was a man after God's own heart. And if you read through the life of David, there's a lot of typologies in David. If you read just in the passage of scriptures earlier than this, we see one of the greatest typologies of the Christian life and what David was to Mephibosheth. Oh, he brought him out of Lodabar as God did to you in your old sin and filthy rags. When he saved your never dying soul from hell, he brought you out of Lodabar and he brought you to the king's table. He sat you there as a father and he took you in as a son and he took you in as who you should have never been. You were just a dead dog, as he said. What will that have with me? I'm just a dead dog. But the king loved him never. Nevertheless, he wanted to show mercy. He wanted to show grace on one that was not deserving. That's what David was. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man chosen by God. He was a man that wanted to do what God wanted him to do throughout his life. He was a man that feared God. If you look through, every bit of his life was led by God. But then we get to chapter 11. We get to chapter 11. We see this great man of God wandering. This great man of God wandering. That's what I want to preach on today. Don't get caught wandering. Don't get caught wandering. That's what I want to preach on today. We see just two points. The first point that I want to show you is the wandering soul. The wandering soul. I won't be long today. He had a place he was supposed to be. Oh, if you read that first passage or first verse, he said, When kings go forth to battle, he had a place to be and he wandered from it into a place he was not supposed to be. He didn't just do that. He wandered out on the balcony. He was king. You think he didn't know that that's the time that the women washed themselves? He was going out looking, but I'll get into that in just a minute. He was a man that wandered from where God had him. He was a man that had no peace in his heart at the moment. He was away from where God wanted him. Let me tell you this, my friend, right now. God has you in a place, and you better continue in that place. God has you where you're supposed to be. Don't wander from it. If you get caught wandering, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you more than you thought it ever would. Oh, I'm telling you that right now. He was a king. He was a king at one point. Oh, but God took him from that. Why? It took him from that for 2 years, as my brother said, but I'll get into that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, I tell you, he had a job to do. And God gives you a job to do the day before. And a lot of people, when God goes silent on them, they want to move on. My friend, whatever God told you to do yesterday, continue doing it today. And you continue doing it till God gives a further commandment. Just keep on doing what God told you to do. Don't wander from what God told you to do. That's the greatest deception of the devil. He's going to get you off the track of where God has you into something else where God doesn't have you. And he'll use that deception to pull you into greater sin. You say, but God has not told me what to do today. He told you yesterday. He told David yesterday. It said right here. It said when kings go forth to battle, he had a place. You have a place. Your pastor can tell you this right here. You sitting in the house of God today, that's your place. You have no idea how great of a blessing it is. It's for him to watch you come through that back door and sit in the same chair Sundays and Wednesdays, service after service. It's a blessing. I tell you. You wouldn't want your pastor on a Sunday to go somewhere else. You would want your pastor to be here on a Sunday. But we just all of a sudden just get in our mindset that as soon as a church member goes out and does whatever, it's just whatever. It's optional. Yeah, church is optional. No, it ain't. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another is so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching more and more as we see the time coming near. We ought to be gathering ourselves more. this meeting that we just had, I tell you, you had some great men of God preach to you. Did you get anything from it? Did you get anything from it, or did you just come out of repetition? It's a place. It's a purpose. I tell you right now, his thing never changed. His job never changed. His mindset did. His mindset changed on where he was supposed to be. God never changed it. God never changed it. I tell you, the problem was is he was not content where he was. He was not content where God had him. So he changed that and did his own. That's free will, by the way, as my brother just preached. Amen. I'm just going to give you this right here. Moss doesn't grow on a rolling rock. Moss doesn't grow on a rolling rock. You can't just go to this church, to this church, to this church. You say, oh, this problem, there's problems in this church, there's problems in this church. Have you considered the problem as you? Have you considered that? How about get right with God and help your man of God build the house of God? How about that? We need to have some contentment in our life, but we need to be in a place where we're building the house of God and building God's ministry. It is not ours, it's God's. But God has you there. Why don't you be a rock that's going to sit somewhere, grow some moss on it, grow some members, actually get out there like they did in the Acts, go and grow the house of God, do what Paul did, go to knock on door to door, save the souls that need to be saved. Tell the lost sinners that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain and a Jesus Christ who died on that old rugged cross for their sins. Well, the problem is as soon as we get saved, we don't care about anybody else. We got what we got. Everybody else is optional now. It's optional. The gospel's telling is optional. It's not optional. Mark tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world. Amen. I tell you right now, it's going to take some time for you to grow where God has you. It's going to take some time to grow where God has you because that's where God has you. As I said before, moss doesn't grow overnight. It doesn't. It takes time. Wherever you're at, it takes time. It takes time once you get where God wanted you to get. I tell you, if you're going to do it, you got to pursue it. You're not just going to fall into God's will. You're going to have to get on your knees day in and day out and pray to God. Get His, and you say, I don't know the direction where God has me. Have you prayed about it? Have you went to God seeking after His will for your life? Have you asked Him? He'll show you if you ask Him. But you're going to have to cleanse that sin out first. Amen. God's work does not happen on accident. It's going to take some pursuing, and it's going to take some children that want to do it. This building wasn't built overnight. Those windows wasn't fabricated overnight. Your soul wasn't saved overnight. It took a work. Now, I'm going to back myself up right there. You were saved like that. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go ahead and knock that one right there. Hey, man. When God saves you, you're saved like that. Hallelujah. In the twinkling of an eye, you're born again. But the work that took you to get saved took some time. Amen. Amen. I tell you right now, I don't understand God's will, but I'm glad I got in on it. Amen. And then right here, we're moving right along. We see in the second point that I want to point out to you right here is we see the wandering sight. This is where I want to get to just for a few minutes. The wandering sight. Ain't it funny how many people nowadays are all about the sight, all about what we can see, all about what we can grab. Whatever we see, that little shiny things, that's what we grab. That's what David did. I tell you, what we see will often collapse us to our knees. A lot of times that's what happens. Let me tell you this right here. If David would have walked out on his balcony and saw that right there and would have went back in and collapsed on his knees, everything would have been over at that moment. He would have never had the pain for the next 2 years. He would have never had to deal with the dread for the next 2 years. He would have never had to live with that life and that decision that he made and all the pain that come with that if he would have just went back in. A lot of times the devil's going to put something in your life that's going to catch your eyesight. You better turn away from that right now. You better turn away from that right now. You better go back to where God has you. You better go back in there. You better go behind that door. You better shut it. You better shut it. Give no place to the devil. No place. Many times, I tell you, many times I see great men of God fall because of their eyesight. Their eyesight's the problem. What we see will often enter our minds to enter our hearts, and then from there enter to our souls, and then collapses to our knees. You know what? David was a man of repentance. You know why God didn't use Saul? Because he wasn't a man of repentance. Failure is not final in your life. You can go back to God and ask for repentance. But let me just give you this, as another man of God told me, I can't remember who it was, but he said, God will forgive it, but you'll never forget it. God will forgive it, but you'll never forget it. What you do, you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Do you want to deal with that for the rest of your life? There's things that you're going to have in your life that you're going to deal with for the rest of your life. I'm out of time. There's things that you're going to have to deal with in the rest of your life that you're doing today, that you're doing right now. You're going to have to deal with tomorrow. Your kids are going to have to deal with tomorrow. Your kids are going to have to deal with tomorrow. David couldn't build the temple. Where do you think Solomon learned it? Where do you think Solomon learned to get a bunch of wives? Your kids learn from you. Amen. I'm going to tell you this right here. You say, oh, it's not a sin to look. Matthew 5:28 disagrees with that one. If a man looketh upon a woman and lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Looking's a sin, buddy. It's a sin. You say, oh, I don't lust. Good for you. You need the altar because you're lying. Amen. Like I said, David should have stopped right there when he saw her. But as I already said, you think he didn't know? He was the king of Israel. I don't know for how many years, I can't remember, but he was the king of Israel. You think he didn't know that was the time? Oh no, he knew. Oh no. But that's what he wanted. You notice how right there, and he says, is this not your eyes' wife? Is she not a married woman? He didn't care. He didn't care. He done went too far at that point. He didn't care. I'm telling you right now, through the eyes you'll see defeat. If you're led by your eyes, it'll always end in defeat. Look at Samson's life. What happened to Samson? He was led by his eyes. He went to the woman Delilah, and that Delilah brought him to death. Brought him to death. It first started with spiritual death, and then it ended in physical death. Sin bringeth forth death every time. Every time. We don't walk by our eyesight, or we don't live by our eyesight. The lost man lives by their eyesight. We're saved in Christ now. We have a new eyesight. We have a new leader. Our life is led by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, now the faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we work by faith, or we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by sight anymore, my friend. The devil wants you to walk by sight because that's another thing he can get you on. That's another thing he can get you on. I'm telling you right now, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And get this right here, and I'll be done. I've taken too long. Get this right here. Your sin, look in David's life. Your sin will cost those around you more than it'll ever cost you. It'll cost those around you more than it'll ever cost you. Look at it. Look at it. It costed her purity. It costed her husband. It costed her a child. It costed Israel a great man. It costed the people. Yes, they defeated them. But at what cost? At what cost? It costed David David's servants their peace. It costed them their peace because they didn't want to tell him that the child was dead. They feared. He's already killed two, or he's already killed one. What is he going to do to me? Your sin will cost those around you way more than it'll cost you. Every time. Sin always brings death. I'm telling you, you're playing a game right now, or you think you're playing a game. This ain't no game. This is real life, my friend. Every step has a consequence. Every look has a consequence. Every action has a consequence in your life. I'm telling you, you think you can hide. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. Be sure. Be sure your sin will find you out. I'm telling you, there's no darkness that's hidden from the Lord. And what you think you can hide from, next thing you know, God's going to tell your preacher. Next thing you know is everybody around you is paying for your sin. You're going to come in the house of God with sin in your life, not repented. And the spirit of revival cannot move because you're too stubborn to get right with God. Too stubborn to get right with God. Why don't you get right with God now before it leads to further? Get right with God. Don't live in this life of condemnation, this life of wanting to try your best to do what you can do. Get right with God. Just get right with God. You'll have peace that passeth all understanding by being right with God and walking to His will. Pastor, I'm done.